героев былых времен не осталось порой имен. Те, кто приняли смертный бой, стали просто землей, травой.
Hello everyone and welcome to lesson number 8 about the movie Officers. Officers is considered a classic war movie of the Soviet Union, and many people call it masterpiece. It was extremely popular in the Soviet Union, and it is still very popular in modern Russia. They show it on TV all the time, at least several times every year. And this movie is about two friends and the woman they love. And all together they have to go through all the tragedies and horrors of war. And it's not just one war. It's the 20th century, terrible century. And this movie is very, very sad. Every single time it makes me cry. There is one scene, and every time I watch it, I think, no, this time I will not cry. But every single time I cry like a baby. I don't know what's going on there. So I think this movie is a must see for everyone who's interested in Russian culture. It's not very long, so spend an hour and a half. It's worth it. I hope you've already watched the video, and now listen to the dialogue one more time.
Что это ты ребенка по ночам таскаешь? Раздевайся. Девочка,
сын.
Отважный ты человек, Маш. Как зовут?
Иваном.
Что-то я не пойму, ты в армии?
Заканчиваю школу радистов. Завтра наших отправляют на фронт, а меня оставляют из-за ребенка.
Почему ты не оставишь его у мамы?
Мама погибла. Вы не курите? А я скурю. Любовь Андреевна, а я вас искала, писала. А сегодня увидела, очень обрадовалась. Кроме вас, мне остался один близкий человек, Егор. Последний раз мы виделись в мае 42-го. Любовь Андреевна, оставьте у себя пока Ваню. Я должна ехать на фронт.
Ты должна вырастить сына.
Мою маму повесили немцы. Любовь Андреевна, идите к внуку. Он может упасть.
So this dialogue is between the woman, Lyubov' Andreevna, and her son's girlfriend, Masha. It's World War II, and they are in the military train at night, and Lyubov' Andreevna says, «Что это ты ребенка по ночам таскаешь?» Why are you carrying the baby around at night? The verb «таскать» means to carry something with you. And it's a bit low, rude manner of saying this. Polite form, of course, is «носить». Зачем носить ребенка? Зачем таскать ребенка? So it's a little bit negative, because you are not supposed to carry a baby at night in winter. That's why she says «таскаешь». Also pay attention to the sentence structure here. Normally you would say «зачем ты ребенка по ночам таскаешь?» That would be in the textbook. But in real life it sounds like here «что это ты ребенка по ночам таскаешь?» Or maybe «what are you doing?» It's not just «Что ты делаешь?» It's «Что это ты делаешь?» Or «What are you reading?» «Что это ты читаешь?» So it's more common, more natural way. That's why I love using dialogues in my lessons. Hard to find those real phrases in textbooks. Okay, the next sentence, she says, «Раздевайся», take off your coat. And then she looks at the baby and asks, «Девочка», girl. And Маша answers, «Сын», a son. So obviously a boy. «Сын». And Любовь Андреевна says, «Отважный ты человек, Маша». You are very brave, Маша. The adjective «отважный» is a synonym of «смелый», «храбрый человек». So, someone brave, bold. «Отважный». And here she means that it's the middle of the war. So they have no food, they are in danger every day, and she gave birth to a baby, so it's brave. You are very brave. Ты очень отважная. Or like here, отважный человек, смелый человек. And then again, looking at the baby, she asks, как зовут? What's his name? So obviously it's «Как его зовут?» And Маша says «Иваном». So he's Иван, or in English it's Ivan. Иван, Ваня. Short form is Ваня. Now listen to this part one more time.
Что это ты ребенка по ночам таскаешь? Раздевайся. Девочка, сын. Отважный ты человек, Маша. Как зовут? Иваном.
And Любовь Андреевна asks, что-то я не пойму. Ты в армии? I can't figure it out. Are you in the army? Here again, useful real phrase. You see, she's not asking, я не понимаю. Ты в армии? No, she says, что-то я не пойму. Ты в армии? It means when you can't understand something, when you can't figure something out. For example, some lazy colleague, some lazy co-worker is doing something on his computer, probably playing some game. And you look at him and you ask, что-то я не пойму, ты работаешь? Meaning, excuse me, are you working there? I don't understand, I can't figure it out. Are you working? Что-то я не пойму. Ты работаешь? So here, she is looking at her and she doesn't understand if she's a soldier, if she's in the army. And Маша answers, Заканчиваю школу радистов. I'm finishing the wireless operator school. So in Russian, it's радист. And usually women were радистка. Школа радистов, wireless operators school. And the next sentence. Завтра наших отправляют на фронт, а меня оставляют из-за ребенка. All my classmates are going to the front line tomorrow, and they won't take me because of the baby. And it is considered as the worst thing, not being able to go to the front line. It was terrible for the Soviet people of that time because everyone wanted to go to the army. It was huge movement here. So teenagers were making fake passports to prove that they were 16 already so they could join the army. And here she wants to go to the front line, but she has a little baby, so they're not taking her. Interesting word here, the one I want you to remember, is «наши». And you probably know it when you speak about our house, наш дом, or maybe our money, наши деньги. But when you use it as a noun, наши, it means some group of people that includes the person who is speaking. It can be class, like here, it can be colleagues, and also it can be a sport team. For example, hockey team, наши, We call them наши all the time. For example, today we lost in hockey to Canada. Наши сегодня проиграли канадцам. So it means our hockey team. Наши. And everyone understands. Or maybe our team is the best. Наши лучшие. Our team is the best. Наши лучшие. We use this word all the time. So here she means her classmates in that school. It means our army, our division, as the opposite to enemy army. So it's наши. Наших отправляют на фронт. And Любовь Андреевна asks, почему ты не оставишь его у мамы? Why don't you leave him with your mother? And Маша explains, мама погибла. My mother died. And here I want you to see the difference between the words умереть, to die, and погибнуть. Like here, мама погибла. There is a big difference here. So to die, умирать, умереть. In general, it means that someone died, and usually, I don't know how to say it, maybe in natural way. So maybe a person was very sick and died because of the disease. Умер от болезни. Or maybe someone was very old. So it's normal to die when you're really old. Он умер от старости. I don't know. But the verb погибнуть, it means that the person died in a different way. Maybe in a fire, maybe drowning, maybe was murdered. So here we understand that she died maybe because of the bombardment, I'm not sure. Because many, many cities were destroyed and people died every day there. Or maybe she was killed by German soldiers, Nazi soldiers. Millions and millions of people were hanged, burned, or shot. So we have this verb, погибать. Мама погибла. So something happened to her. She didn't die because of hunger or because of disease. And later we'll know what happened, so we're moving on. Вы не курите, а я закурю. Do you smoke? And I'll have a cigarette. Вы не курите. It's obvious, don't you smoke? And закурить with this prefix, за. Закурить. It means to take the cigarette, to lit it, and to start smoking. Закурить. Meaning right now, start smoking. Закурить. Now listen to this part one more time.
Что-то я не пойму, ты в армии?
Заканчиваю школу радистов. Завтра наших отправляют на фронт, а меня оставляют из-за ребенка.
Почему ты не оставишь его у мамы?
Мама погибла. Вы не курите? А я скурю.
And then Маша says, Любовь Андреевна, а я вас искала, писала. Любовь Андреевна, I've been looking for you, writing letters. So, писать means to write letters. Because they didn't have phone, obviously, people were writing letters to each other. Писать. So you don't even need the word letter, письмо. Писать письма. When you say писать, я тебе писала, it means, of course, writing letters. So I was looking for you, I was writing to you. Я вас искала и писала. А сегодня увидела и очень обрадовалась. I was so glad when I saw you today. Я увидела и обрадовалась. Была рада. And then she says, кроме вас у меня остался один близкий человек, Егор. Besides you, I have only one dear person, Егор. First, this name, Егор. In English, it's a little confusing because it's Igor. And in Russian, we have two different names. It's Егор, O is stressed here, Егор, and the name Игорь, E is stressed. Игорь, Егор и Игорь. And in English, they both translate as one name. Useful word here is близкий человек, dear person, близкий. If you remember the lesson number 4, we talked about чужой человек, a stranger, an alien, someone not close to you, чужой человек. And here we have the opposite, близкий человек, meaning родной, любимый. So it's someone you love, someone very dear to you. It's not necessarily love. It can be friendship, camaraderie. So maybe your best friend is близкий человек. So someone dear to you. And then she says, в последний раз мы виделись в мае 42-го. Last time I saw him was in May 1942. So he's in army, obviously, somewhere maybe in front line. So they didn't see each other. She only has the baby now. And then she says, Любовь Андреевна, оставьте пока у себя Ваню. Я должна ехать на фронт. Please keep Vanya with you for some time. I must go to the front line. So she wants her to look after her son. And for Любовь Андреевна, it's her grandson, Vanya, Ivan. And Любовь Андреевна answers, Ты должна вырастить сына. You must bring your son up. Вырастить сына. So now he's a baby, but he will grow up. Он будет расти. And for parents, we use the verb вырастить. Вырастить детей. Вырастить сына. But Маша says, Мою маму повесили немцы. My mom was hanged by Germans. So now we know what happened to her. That's why she used the verb погибла. Мама погибла, hanged by Germans. Повесили немцы. Маму повесили немцы. And then the train starts moving, and Маша yells, Любовь Андреевна, идите к внуку, он может упасть. Любовь Андреевна, go to your grandson, he may fall. And then she runs away, leaving her son with his grandmother and going to the front line with the army. And now listen to the dialogue one more time.
Что это ты ребенка по ночам таскаешь? Раздевайся. Девочка.
Сын.
Отважный ты человек, Маш. Как зовут?
Ивана.
Что-то я не пойму, ты в армии?
Заканчиваю школу радистов. Завтра наших отправляют на фронт, а меня оставляют из-за ребенка.
Почему ты не оставишь его у мамы?
Мама погибла. Вы не курите? А я скурю. Любовь Андреевна, а я вас искала, писала. А сегодня увидела и очень обрадовалась. Кроме вас, мне остался один близкий человек, Егор. Последний раз мы виделись в мае 42-го. Любовь Андреевна, оставьте у себя пока Ваню. Я должна ехать на фронт.
Ты должна вырастить сына. Мою маму повесили немцы. Любовь Андреевна, идите к внуку. Он может упасть.
That was it. Now you can listen to the Russian explanation and after that to the mini story. And now enjoy the amazing song from this movie.
Приняли смертный бой, стали просто землей, травой. Только грозная доблесть их поселилась в сердцах живых. Этот вечный огонь нам завещанный одним, мы в груди храним. Погляди на моих бойцов, целый свет помнит их в лицо. Вот застыл батальон в строю, снова старых друзей узнаю. Хоть и мне 25, трудный путь им пришлось пройти. Это те, кто в штыки поднимался как один, те, кто брал Берлин. Нет в России семьи такой, где б не памятен был свой герой. И глаза молодых солдат с фотографий увядших глядят. Этот взгляд словно высший суд для ребят, что сейчас растут. И мальчишкам нельзя ни солгать, ни обмануть, ни с пути свернуть.